10 verse 9 states that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen? Amen? That's something that so awesome, so simple. And one day, this whole great world will come to know the truth in that short verse that Jesus is Lord and God still sits on the throne. Amen? If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and we'll begin with verse 7. And what we're going to talk about this morning is unconditional trust. About a month or so ago, I spoke to you about trust, and the Lord laid on my heart this past week that we need to decipher what this trust is, because there's more than one kind of trust. There's conditional trust, which means I will trust you if. And then there's unconditional trust, which means I'll trust you always. No ifs, no buts, unconditionally. And some ways that we learn this unconditional trust is through prayer. When God, when we pray to Him, sometimes He answers us right away. And other times, it seems like it takes a while. And then there's times where it feels like He just didn't answer. But in fact, He did. We just didn't want to see it. There's a little boy that asked an older gentleman, he says, "On what day of the week should I pray?" And the older man looked down at that young boy and he says, "The day before you die." The little boy looked up at him kind of confused and he says, "Well, how can I do that? Because I don't know what day I'm going to die." And the old gentleman says, "Well, then I would say that you should pray every day. For we don't know the day that the Lord's going to harvest us and call us home." So prayer, to be able to have this unconditional trust, is so important. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 reads like this: "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" You see, what Paul is talking about here, if you went back a few verses, you'll see that he was boasting about a vision, a revelation that the Lord gave him. The Lord called him in the Spirit into the third heaven. And Paul says that the Lord gave him a revelation and a vision that could not be uttered by man. Now, you see, there was a lot of people who opposed Paul. And they oftentimes boasted about their own spiritual revelations and their own spiritual endeavors. And they also boasted about their ethnicity, about how they were Jews and they were God's chosen people. And so Paul wasn't going to be left out. Paul was going to show them exactly who he was. And so oftentimes he boasted about this vision and this revelation, and he boldly stated it's a vision and a revelation that man cannot utter. And if you want to talk about ethnicity and a pedigree, I was raised and trained by the Pharisees. I am a Jew's Jew. And not only that, I am a Roman citizen. And he boasted about these things. And then the Lord came upon him and put a thorn in his flesh. Now there's much debate, and I said this in Sedgwick, and I truly mean it. It blows my mind what man will debate and how much time they will spend debating it. But it's been debated, what is it, was it his natural flesh? Was it his spiritual flesh? Was it an actual thorn? Or was it some other kind of infirmity like a sickness or an illness? This has been debated for centuries. And during the debate, man has just missed the whole purpose of it. It does not matter if this thorn was actually in the flesh. It does not really matter if it was in his spirit. It does not matter whether or not it was an illness. Paul was often sick. He had malaria. He had all kinds of other sicknesses and illnesses. Some people believe that that is why he had such a hard time seeing. But the point is the thorn was put there to humble Paul, that Paul might remember who he served, and the purpose of what he was doing was not to boast himself or to raise himself up, but it was to glorify God. And we see that Paul three times asked the Lord to take this thorn from him, and the Lord said no. And the Lord answered Paul and said, "In your weakness, I am made great." And what he meant by was that when we are weak and we can't make it through one more day, and the only way we make it through that day is because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it goes to show the world that all the things that we do in our lives are not done by our own abilities, but they are only done because God gives us the strength and the whereto to do it. And so Paul was satisfied with that. Paul said that, okay, if this is the way it has to be, then I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and calamities. He realized that when he was weak, then people seen the strength of his Lord. And so he says, okay, Lord, if that's the way it has to be, I accept it. That is what you call unconditional trust. Paul accepted this thorn in his flesh. And if this is the way it had to be for him to serve the Lord, he was okay with it. He didn't sit there and say, well, Lord, why do I have to have it? Lord, why this? Why that? He accepted his predicament. He accepted this thorn and went about God's business. That's unconditional trust. He trusted God with everything. Now, if he would have said, Lord, if you'll take this thorn from my flesh, I can serve you better. Or, Lord, if you take this thorn from my flesh, I can be more productive for you. Or, Lord, if you take this thorn from my flesh, I will give you the best that I have. Then it becomes conditional trust. And so many times, that's how we are. Lord, if you'll just do this. Or, Lord, if you'll just do that. Lord, if you'll take this away. Lord, if you'll give me this, then I can give you my best. The only trust we have in the Lord is conditional trust. If he meets my demands, then I'll trust him. If he does not, then my trust wavers. But see, we have to understand this. If we can understand this, we'll be in such a better place. If where we're at today, thorn, no thorn, if we can remember that God will give us the grace to endure, then we can be satisfied with where we are today. We can be satisfied, thorn and all. We can walk around with a smile on our face and joy in our heart because we have this unconditional love for the Lord. But the only way that we can be happy with this thorn or without this thorn is if we allow God to have complete control in our lives. That is the only true way that we can have unconditional trust, is if we allow the Lord to take complete control of our lives. And that's exactly what Paul did. Paul didn't whine and cry and fuss and complain about all these things. He just kept going forward and going forward and going forward. And what the world would consider to be a setback, Paul took as a learning experience. Every time he was thrown into prison, he looked at it as a time that he could minister to the inmates. He could minister to the guards. If he was never thrown into prison, he couldn't do that. Every time that he was sick and God restored his health, he was able to praise and glorify God. He learned how to be happy in every circumstance, and because of that, he trusted God unconditionally. Wow, to be able to live like that. Brother, you're up there speaking a fairy tale. No, I am not. We can live just like that. And we can give God unconditional trust if we choose to do so. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 28, it says, Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. It's easy to put our trust in the Lord when everything is going good. When life is good, we got the job we want, we got money in the bank, the kids are doing what they're supposed to do, everything is great, it is easy to trust God. And it was easy for Peter to trust Jesus when Jesus told him to step out of the boat. You see, Peter asked the Lord, if it is you, command me to come out of the boat and come to you. And that's what Jesus did. And the wind was kind of calm and the waves weren't too high. So Peter steps out of the boat and he starts walking to the Lord and everything is good and he has all the trust in the world. And then all of a sudden the wind comes up and the waves get high. And what does Peter do? He starts looking at the circumstance instead of looking at the Lord, and his trust vanishes. And he starts to sink. You see, Peter did not have unconditional trust. Peter had conditional trust. As long as the wind stayed calm and the waves stayed calm, he would trust in the Lord. But the first time things got hard and got difficult, got scary, his trust failed. And that same thing happens to us when things go bad. And the first thing we want to do is we want to question God. Lord, why did you let this happen? Lord, why did you let that happen? Lord, if you just would fix this or take this away, I can do better. I can give you the best, but the only way I can give you the best is if you keep everything perfect for me. But if things get hard, then I can't give you my best no more because I don't have trust. It happens to us every day. Something goes wrong at work. Something goes wrong at home. And the very first thing we want to do is doubt. And the reason is because we want to know everything. We have yet to accept the fact that we will never know everything that God knows. It's not his desire. But if we would just let him have control of our lives, then we could have unconditional trust. If we could just trust in him regardless of where our path led us, we could have unconditional trust. In the hard times, if we can learn to trust God in the hard times, our lives would be so much happier. How many of you believe that you could live a stress-free life? I do. God's word says I can. But the only way I can do that is to let God have complete control. Not an easy thing for us to do. We like to make up our own minds. We like to make our own choices. And so often when we do, they're the wrong ones. Do you believe that from the moment that you were conceived, God already had a plan for you? Now, nowhere in his word does it say that that plan may not require you to endure difficulties. It does not say that. In fact, it says just the opposite. Jesus told us that at times life would become hard. And even knowing that, we said, that's okay, Lord, we're going to serve you until things got difficult. And then it becomes harder for us to serve him. We have to remember that God is a sovereign God. We don't need to know everything that he does. We don't need to know every plan that he has for our lives. All we have to remember that he is God. He is still on the throne. He is still in control. And nothing happens in our lives unless he allows it. There is not a dark demonic power that can change God's ordination for your life. If God has ordained it in your life, there is nobody that can take it from you. Satan can't do anything with it. If God has ordained you to do something, accept it. Don't fear it, because he is in control. We have nothing to fear. We're already victorious, but we walk around defeated. And I don't understand it, because we're not defeated. We are children of God, joint heirs of Christ. And we walk around defeated. And when we walk around defeated, there is no way that we can give God unconditional trust. Don't trust your neighbor. Don't trust your community. Don't trust this world. But for your own sake, give God unconditional trust. God, I prayed for this and you didn't give it to me. Or he didn't give it to me in the manner I wanted. God, if you'd only done this, if you'd only done that. And then a short time later, we see the end result of what Christ was doing, and we realize that it was so much better than what we asked for. And so the joy fills our heart and trust fills our soul until the next problem comes along. Lord, why didn't you do this? Lord, why didn't you do that? If we can figure out a way to let the Holy Spirit guide us each and every day, then we would no longer have this doubt and we could have unconditional trust. And God has given us the answer in how to do that. He has shown us how to have unconditional trust and how to look to him each and every day. And he even gave us himself to do it. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And from the moment we wake up until the moment we go to bed, if we will listen to him and let him direct our paths, it's amazing the things that will get done. It's amazing that when the storms rise, we'll have no fear. I used to fear all the time. This wasn't going right. I'd be scared to death. How am I going to fix this? Because I was always looking to myself for the answers. You know how relieving it is to know that I don't have to worry? I can honestly stand before you today and say, when things go bad, I have learned to give them to the Lord. Does that make me perfect? No. Do I waver at times? A little bit, but not near as much. And that wavering only lasts for just a quick second. But God, if you'd give me the big house and the nice car and the big checking account and the job I've always wanted, then I could do better for you. Let me tell you something. If there is something in your life that you have to be happy, the enemy can use it against you. If you have to have that job, or you have to have that car, or you have to have a big old fat bank account to be happy, Satan's going to use that against you. But if you can learn to be satisfied with what the Lord has given you, and if you can learn to be satisfied and content even in the dark times, Satan ain't going to know what to do with you. He can't do anything with you. Because the only thing that matters to you is the Lord. And when you reach that point, you'll have unconditional trust. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with praying to the Lord about things. Lord, I'm struggling in this job, and I just don't feel that this job is for me anymore. Lord, could you give me something different? Or Lord, give me something that I can do that will serve you better. There's nothing wrong with that. Lord, I'd like to have a little more money in the bank for I could get my kids a little bit nicer clothes, or I could do a little bit more for my community or a little bit more for my neighbor. There's nothing wrong with asking for that. There's nothing wrong for asking the Lord to give you reliable transportation. And if he decides that comes in the way of a brand new car, or if that comes in the way of a good, nice used car, all we have to be willing to do is accept God's answer. And if we can truly in our hearts accept that answer, then friend, you have unconditional trust. And that unconditional trust will make a huge difference in our lives. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is to be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hands, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden image that you have set up. Unconditional trust. The most important part in these verses is when they said, but if not. Their trust was not conditional. God will trust you if you make sure we're not thrown in that fire. God will trust you if you make the king turn into dust before us. God will trust you if you make a means for us to escape this situation. But sometimes God requires that we actually go through the fiery furnace. And that is when our trust is truly tested. But these three young teenage Jewish boys who had spent the majority of their life in captivity told the king, do what you want, say what you want, threaten us with whatever you want to threaten us with. We refuse to bow down because our God will deliver us. But if he does not, we still will not bow down. And so if you know the story, you know that the king got angry and they bound them three boys up and they threw them in the fire. And as they were throwing them in the fire, the men that were throwing them in the fire got consumed by the fire. And then the king, he looks in the door of the furnace and he no longer sees three bound boys in there, but he sees four men walking about. And he turns and he looks at his entourage and he says, didn't we not cast in three bound teenagers? And they said, yes. And he says, then why do I see four men walking in the flames and one of them look like the Son of God? What would have happened if those three young men did not have unconditional trust? What if they would have said, God, if you'll just take us away from this place, we'll trust you. And what if right before they were getting ready to be thrown in the fire, they said, hold up, we'll bow down. So many times that's what we do. When things get tough, we bow down to the world. We'll bow down to sin. We'll bow down to our friends because we don't want them to think bad of us. It's called conditional trust. And that's what the Lord does not want for us, is conditional trust. You see, friends, the forces that are for you are greater than the forces that are against you. The world can't do anything to us that is lasting. Oh, they can give us some bumps and bruises. Like I told you, see my elbow? I didn't quite stick the landing. But you know what? That'll go away. That'll go away. So should I tell my friend the next time he asks for my help? Nope. Can't do it. I don't trust you no more. I don't trust your stuff. Your stuff made me bleed. Or do I realize this is just temporary? This is just part of life. It'll go away. It don't hurt no more. It's all temporary. But heaven is eternal. That's what we have to look at. And if we focus on the eternal stuff, then we'll have unconditional trust. When we forget about all this and focus on all that, we'll have unconditional trust. If we let God work out His plan in our life, we have unconditional trust. Sometimes we get tested, amen? You ever been tested? I ain't talking about an algebra in school. I'm talking about real life tested. Woo, I've been through a bunch. Still ain't learned it all. But there was no one tested greater than Jesus Christ. And right below Him, I would have to say Abraham. In the book of Genesis, chapter 22 and verse 9, it says, when they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thickets by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. You want to talk about being tested? Have you ever been tested that way? I haven't. Imagine this. God promises Abraham and Sarah a son, and they wait and they wait and they wait. And finally, their son is given to them. And then a few years later, God calls down to Abraham again and says, look, I want you to take this son that I gave you to this mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him, give him back. The Bible doesn't tell us what Sarah said. I can kind of imagine what Sarah would say over my dead body. But God was requiring. He wasn't asking. He was requiring Abraham to sacrifice his own child. And so what does Abraham do? He doesn't try to run from God. He has unconditional trust in the Lord. And so he takes his son along with two of his men, and they head for the mountains. And when they get to the foot of the mountain, he tells his two men, you stay here. Me and the boy are going to the top. And on the way to the top, Isaac asks his father, what are we going to sacrifice? Ooh, I don't know about y'all, but man, that gives me chills just thinking about that question. Father, what are we going to sacrifice? And then when they get to the top of the mountain and Abraham has prepared the altar and he lays his son on there and he bounds him up and then he pulls out his knife and he gets ready to sacrifice his son. Because he has unconditional trust in the Lord. And the Lord, being faithful as always, his angel says, stop, don't touch him. It was just a test. And Abraham passed. And so the Lord provided something else that was good enough for Abraham to sacrifice. And afterwards, he promised Abraham that he'd be a father of many nations, and that his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren would be fathers of many nations. You see, sometimes it appears that God gives us something and then he wants to take it back. But in reality, all he wants to know is your trust conditional or is it unconditional? And if you pass the test, more times than not, he does not only give back what you were willing to sacrifice, but he gives you something so much more. Because he is pleased that you're willing to sacrifice. So when one door closes, don't become upset. I was dead positive that God gave me my job at Grainland. Just out of nowhere, it popped up. Because them people just don't quit. Good benefits, good pay. Them people, they like them jobs. They ain't quitting. And just out of the blue, my brother calls me up and says, hey, you better take it if you want it. Because it ain't going to last long. And so I was positive the Lord opened up a new door for me. And I took it. And a year and a half later, he snatched it back. Now, I ain't going to say I had unconditional trust like Abraham. I was a little confused. But see, it was shortly before that that Jessica and I and our kids started coming here. It was shortly before that that I realized that my life was going nowhere. That it was time that I made a decision. I either was going to serve the Lord with all my heart, or I wasn't going to serve him at all, because this half and half just wasn't working. See, God had a plan. I didn't know it. And I had a little fear in me. I'm not going to sit up here and boast that I had no fear. You know who didn't have no fear? My wife. Before she even knew that I'd lost my job, she knew something had happened. But all she said was, don't worry, it'll be all right. And so the Lord didn't take nothing from me. He had something better to give me. And for me to be able to get it, he had to take what was in the way. And so I hope and I pray that I have learned to give him unconditional trust. Let God work out his plan in your life with unconditional trust. And the change, it's almost, the change is so great, it's almost unimaginable. Life could not be that good here, but it can. So in closing, I want to tell you one thing. And then we'll go ahead and, I went to look at the clock. It ain't there. I don't have my watch. But let me tell you a little story. When I first got saved, I was living in North Carolina. And after going to church for a few years and having God, the Lord as my Savior for a few years, I felt the call into ministry. And I was excited, and I went to my pastor and I told him how I felt. And he says, I'm here to help you. And he helped me. And I went through the process, and I was licensed as what they call a local church minister, which means I had some authority in the local church. And the church, after some time, was getting ready to install me as their associate pastor. And things were going good, and I was proud of me. But you see, the more proud I became of me, the less credit I gave God. And then one day I was sitting there thinking, this is what I need. And so I literally sat down and wrote down everything I needed. And then I said, Lord, this is what I need. I need you to do this. This is when I need you to do it. This is how I need you to do it. And these are the people I need you to put in my life to see that it's done. And if you'll do that, then everything will be perfect. I gave him a very good plan. I had thought this plan out. But guess what? He didn't listen. And I got angry. I took my ball and went home. I ain't playing with you no more. See, that was conditional faith, conditional trust. Lord, if you'll just do it my way, then I'll trust in you and I'll give you the best I have. Because don't you know, Lord, that my way is better than yours? Oh yeah, you're the king of the universe and you created everything, but I know just a little bit more about what is better for me. In short order, he showed me just how wrong I was. But he is a faithful God. And you look at where I stand today. Not because of anything I did, other than I pulled my head out of the sand and I decided I was either going to serve him completely and wholeheartedly, or I was not going to serve him at all. And that's the choice we have to make. There is no half and half. It's all or nothing. And when you get to the point that you're ready to give him everything, then you can give him unconditional trust. And man, what a life you'll have. You might be struggling today. You might have problems today. There's nothing wrong with having the problem. It's how you go about solving it. It's whether or not you let it worry you and keep you up at night. The only thing that keeps me up at night anymore is a sore back and sore knees. My problems don't keep me awake. Because they'll be there in the morning. But you know who else will be there in the morning? My Lord and Savior will be there in the morning. And if I have to go through the fire, praise God, I won't go through it by myself. So remember that. There's nothing more important than giving God unconditional trust. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just give you praise and glory this morning. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the ability that we have through your grace to have unconditional trust in you. Father, may your Holy Spirit continue to remind us and convict us when that trust starts to waver. Father, it's our desire that we get to a point in our relationship with you that this unconditional trust cannot be broken, that we will not fail. Father, let us not drown in our concerns and our worries and our sorrows, but let us look to you and you'll lift us up just as you did Paul. Or Peter, up out of the water. Father, let us put all of our heart into serving you. Because part-time Christianity just does not work. Give us that desire, and we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. There is one thing I forgot.